Welcome to Radio School of the Bible. This program is a production of the Distance Learning Center at the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. I'm Greg Wheatley, your host for these programs, and in our final quarter together, we're studying God's will for your life. Our instructor is Dr. Bill Thrasher, professor of Bible and theology at Moody Bible Institute's Graduate School. Well, we're gaining these insights into God's Word and what it means to get to know God better, and as a result of that, to understand more and more about His will. That's really kind of been the premise of this entire quarter. And Dr. Thrasher, it's time to get back at it today.
Well, thank you, Greg. It's been a joy to be here. And we've said that a person who wants to know God's will certainly needs to have a greater desire to know God than to know God's will. And as we respond to the character of God, we'll be led into the will of God. God is one who is eager to guide us. We've looked at some arrows to avoid. We looked at some arrows to avoid or things or patterns that we don't want to fall into that can hinder us from experiencing God's will. And then we've also looked at some instructions or how God guides us. And the first thing we talked about was some general instructions to heed that are things that are specifically stated to be the will of God. We've also said there are examples to follow and that our supreme example is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's also discernment to exercise in regard to God's will, experiencing God's will. Discernment, I believe Scripture teaches, is a fruit of presenting our life to the Lord. It's a fruit of consecration. We read in Psalm 25, where he says, verses 9 and verse 12 of Psalm 25, He leads the humble in justice. He teaches the humble His way. And then in verse 12, Who is the man who fears the Lord? He, God, will instruct him in the way he should choose. There's discernment to exercise. Jesus said it this way, recorded in John 7. He says, If any man is willing to do his will, any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. He says the discernment came from what? Determining that there's one thing I desire in life, and that is to do the will of God. So God does not communicate his will to one who wants to know it only out of curiosity to decide whether or not they'll do it. He communicates his will to one who's determined ahead of time that that is what they desire. There is discernment to exercise, and that discernment is given to those who have presented their life to the Lord. There are also, and this was the words I noted, and since those couple of lectures I heard J.I. Packer talk about the will of God, they were tremendous help to me. He talked about nudges to note, and we've talked about that as we've looked at the prompting of the leading of the Spirit. I'd like to just lead us to a few scriptures that talk about this nudgings to note. I think you'll find that perhaps our listeners can identify with these, and it may, in a sense, being able to detect what God is up to in their life. Interesting words we read in Nehemiah. We read something like this twice, where he says, the first time here is in Nehemiah chapter 2, and then in the second time is in Nehemiah chapter 7. But here in Nehemiah 2:12, he says, When I rose in the night, and I and a few men with me, I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem. God putting things in our mind, putting in our heart. There's a second time we read a statement like that in regard to, once again, Nehemiah 7 and verse 5. Then my God put it into my mind to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the people to be enrolled by the genealogies. So nudges to note. Can God, in a sense, influence it that way? Obviously, He can. In fact, that's now the fact that there's a thought in my mind doesn't automatically mean it's of the Lord. Satan, in a sense, evidently put that thought in Peter's mind. The idea of Peter showing his great concern for Jesus, saying, "Oh, you couldn't go to the cross," and he said, "Oh, we couldn't. You couldn't do that." And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Mm-hmm. So our mind's a great battlefield, but certainly what God put it in my mind. Nehemiah says, "God put it in my heart." There are nudges to note. There can be thoughts in the sense that God is putting on your heart, and we need to develop the discernment and being able to respond to those. That is the prompting of the Spirit. Sometimes God will maybe give you sort of a vision, able you to visualize what God desires to do. He was able to do that with Caleb, you know, when he went through this experience, and Caleb told the people, he said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." It's like God gave Caleb the faith to visualize what God wanted to do. Now, people didn't respond to him. But sometimes God, obviously, many times ministries start that way.
Yeah.
when they're starting. You know, God gives someone the vision to sense what God wants to do. Mm-hmm. I'm told that Dr. Bill Bright got the vision for Campus Crusade for Christ when he was studying for a Greek exam. And he said there's nothing necessarily spiritual about that. But God put on his vision the idea.
I hear a lot of people have had a lot of visions studying for Greek exams.
Yeah. And you probably hear a lot of people that had a lot of visions that essentially couldn't depend upon. But it's God sometimes will enable you to visualize what he desires to do. Obviously, he did that with a man, a great man of faith, and what God wanted to do in regard to mobilizing collegians and collegiate students, and certainly it's gone much beyond that. But there are times God can do that. Sometimes God puts just great concerns on your heart. He put a great concern on David's heart, and Solomon talks about this. He says, "It was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord. But the Lord said, because it was in your heart to build a house, you did well that was in your heart." And he was going to fulfill that through his son. It may be sometimes that things are on our heart that will be fulfilled in another generation. Mm-hmm. It may be that God uses those just to lay up a prayer or a foundation for those works. All of us benefit from what God enabled D.L. Moody, in a sense, to visualize. There's a school now that he wouldn't even be able to get into because of his lack of education. But there's a school now. There's a graduate school. There are many other things or whatever because of his great faith, his great dedication to God. So God can put concerns on your heart. And sometimes those concerns can guide you into pursuing what he wants you to do. Sometimes God can put restraints on you. The Apostle Paul, we did that dramatic illustration there in Acts 16, where he wanted to go to Asia, and the Lord said, no, go west, and God put restraints upon him. So we're talking about nudges to note, God putting concerns in our heart, in our mind, enabling us to visualize what he wants us to do, sometimes putting restraints upon us. Like I say, all those need to be what? Subject to God's word. Certainly we're talking in an area where one can be deceived, but we also still, we can't discount that. Mm-hmm. It's a subjective area that we all feel uncomfortable with, but you can't discount it, or else we'll come into our own form of evangelical humanism. God is a God who is God. He is personable, and we've probably all seen a lot of abuse in that, but yet we can't discount it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe here, Dr. Thrasher, just a couple of quick words, and you have alluded to some, but maybe just a couple of practical reminders of how we tell the difference, because we're so prone to be flawed and to not understand necessarily when it's God saying something and when it's just our own devices. Maybe a couple of checkpoints
So I think one checkpoint would certainly be, if it is of God, it's going to be in harmony with the balanced teaching of Scripture. I think another checkpoint I find is if it is of God, am I willing to wait? You know, when I'm unwilling to wait and I'm just impulsive, mm-hmm. that probably shows either it's not of God or I'm not willing to be convinced, or I'm not fully convinced it's of God. Mm-hmm. I think another checkpoint is, if let's say this is something I visualize and I believe it's of the Lord, how do I respond when obstacles come in the way? How do I respond? Do I feel like it's up to me to tear down those obstacles? Or can I sit back and say, God, Lord, if this is of you, this gives you another opportunity to show it's of you and confirm it's of you by dealing with these obstacles in the way. So I think those are some checkpoints that we all need, because certainly we can be deceived. I would say a few other things in regard to how God guides us. There are circumstances to observe. Once again, that's another area. We certainly can tend to read circumstances the way we want to when we're not fully yielded to the Lord. There can even also sometimes be what satanic hindrances. Apostle Paul says, I wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered me. We can believe the Lord to overcome those as we wait upon him. But God can open doors. And so circumstances to observe are one way that God does guide us. Also, there can be wisdom to draw upon. We've talked about the need, in a sense, to get counsel, especially the key people in our life. Another final one is what we just might call peace to cherish. This is certainly... It's like you don't base seeking the will of God on one point. You say, I have peace about this. That needs to be in the total mix of things. If you have peace about it, although what all the counsel is against it, it's not really in harmony with God's word. It's not God's will.
Yeah. But because we should say, it is possible to have peace about a decision when all of those other factors are wrong. I mean, that is very possible that one could feel a certain piece about something, and it actually would be wrong. Is that not correct?
I think that's true. I think that if a person truly, that God will keep us in his will, and a person needs to just, am I really willing to live open before God? I mean, sometimes is there something I'm wanting more than God himself?
Mm-hmm.
And when you want something more than God himself, even though it's a legitimate gift of God, I think we can open ourselves up to deceit.
Yeah.
If there's a deep, agitating uncertainty, we need to say, okay, well, Lord, what's disturbing that peace? Well, what's disturbing that? And it may be that, you know, we need to go deeper. Maybe are we just afraid, and the Lord wants to deal with that fear? But that is one matter to consider in the context of the concerns that we've raised.
Well, thank you, Dr. Thrasher, once again for an excellent session here in Radio School of the Bible. As Radio School of the Bible is a production of the Moody Broadcasting Network in Chicago.